Alright, not getting any better looking, so let's just do this. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, and moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass that way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Either you are wrong or I am right. And don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. So the interesting is, once Obama moves on, I wonder how large of a dildo, or probably a strap-on is what Hillary Clinton will use to shove up your ass. I wonder how large the strap-on will be and if there will still be room for your head. I am the Great One himself. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast, the weapons platform in which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect and stress the fucking states all around the world because I hate all of you who are statists. Because you suck. Because you are so fucking stupid that because you can't run your own life and you need somebody to make your decisions for you, like Roosh, why didn't the government make my decisions for me? Right, fucking grown man travels around the world and fucks hundreds of women and wants the fucking government to make his decisions for him so he doesn't make any mistakes. I need the government. Even the manosphere, where the last place you would think you would find fucking feminist, is full of feminists, because of course the defining element of femistatism is women wanting the government to make their decisions for them so they don't make mistakes, while of course at the same time providing them with free resources so they don't ever want for anything and where they lack for nothing. Because of course responsibility and accountability and just generally being competent and creating value for other people, not to mention just getting along with other people. Again, I mean, how stupid are you fucking statist that you actually need a law? Like, why is killing other people, like, where, why do we actually need that to be written on a piece of paper that that's against the law? I mean, you people are so fucking stupid that you can't figure out killing other people is something you should not do unless the government makes it illegal. There's a reason why I hate those of you who are statist. It's because you're fucking stupid. It's because if natural selection were allowed to take place, you would be dead. I mean, think about it. So you're too stupid to know that killing other people is wrong. So you go out and you just randomly kill other people. Well, of course, in a anarcho-capitalist world where natural selection takes place, other people would be capable of defending themselves because they'd have guns and all this other shit, and they would just kill you, and then you'd be dead. Your DNA wouldn't be passed on. Everyone would look at you as the fucking idiot that you are, and it would be a nice, peaceful society. But no. No, see, the state needs inferior people because, I mean, who else would vote for Hillary Clinton or Mitt Romney or Hussein Obama or George Bush except for inferior people who are stupid? Any person with any kind of a brain cell would just look at this shit and say, fuck that. I don't have time for this level of stupidity. Anyway, as I may have mentioned, I am the Great One himself. I'm the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. 11 years of podcasting. It is Friday, November the 6th. Normally the podcast would already be published by now, but we're just now recording it because it's been a busy week for me. I'm tired, but, you know, it's what? It's almost 9 o'clock. I love the smell of podcasting in the morning. It's really good. Anyhow, if you want to send us an email, it's God, dog spelled backwards, God, G-O-D, at cynlibsoc.com. And, of course, website cynlibsoc.com on the interwebs. In the control room right over there, the lovely and adorable Randy is hanging out. And, yeah, we're going to bump this out, and I'm going to go do some shit because I have to create value for other people and get paid for it because I'm not on welfare because I'm not a fucking statist. Anyway, we're getting back to some more articles from the CSU Collegian. That's the newspaper from Colorado State University, the communist, socialist, left-wing indoctrination camp located here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Here, got a headline right here. This is great. It says, quote, CSU students dislike Trump. Who gives a fuck? I mean, when you see a headline like that, you really want to just read that, don't you? Yeah, CSU students who have no life experience and many of whom are majoring in worthless diplomas, liberal arts, journalism, international communications, puppetry, ethnic studies. Yeah, they dislike Trump. Seeing things like this, as we all know, voting, voting for people is stupid. That's where every time I see something like this, it just makes me say, you know, if Trump actually got in the election, which he will not, but if Trump actually got in the election, I would vote for him just because of the Megyn Kelly, because all these people want him to apologize for everything, because CSU students dislike him. All of this just makes me say, you know, as much as this is stupid, the political process, democracy, a president, all this other stuff, I would vote for him. Now, of course, he's not going to get in the race. This will be interesting to see how this all pans out because, of course, the previous to the last, when Hillary Clinton and Obama were running, right, we saw that in the primaries, the Democrat primaries, Hillary Clinton actually got more votes than Obama. But since many of Hillary Clinton's votes don't count, even though a big talking point of the Liberal Democrat Party is that every vote counts, Obama got in anyhow because that's who the powers that be wanted to be the president. Hillary got shut out. And then, the previous presidential election, this shit all blurs together for me, we saw Ron Paul going up against Mitt Romney. And we saw during the primaries Ron Paul just getting shut out, like the Ron Paul supporters being ignored. We saw the votes for Ron Paul just not being counted, being completely ignored, because of course the powers that be in the Republican Party wanted Mitt Romney up there. I'm not really sure why. Maybe they were just trying to, my theory is that they were just trying to shut him up and get him out of the way, because anybody, well, then again, we're talking about Republicans, but anybody with a brain cell, maybe you need two brain cells. Anybody with two brain cells knew there's no way in hell that Obama was going to not win his second term, right? Just, if you thought Obama had a chance of losing, you should shoot yourself for being stupid. You really should. Just get your DNA out of the fucking gene pool. But regardless, you know, the Republicans still made sure that the insider, the elite got in there, Romney. They were going to do everything they could to keep Ron Paul out. So I think this round of primaries will be interesting, because with the Democrats, you have Hillary Clinton, who is clearly the golden child, who is, as I've been saying for ages, is going to be the next president. And there's our fucking floaty in my coffee. And then you've got this Bernie Sanders guy, the socialist, who all the young kids are in love with, of course, because he's offering them all this free stuff. He's going to give them free college, I heard, and free this and free that. And of course, because they're millennials, they're too stupid to understand that there's no such thing as free. Right? When you say to somebody, I'm going to give you free college. Well, this free college, I mean, somebody still has to pay the teachers who are teaching you the free college, unless they're working for free, right? You have to still pay for upkeep and maintenance of the buildings. You have to pay for electricity and all this other stuff of where the college takes place. So, I mean, there is no such thing as free. Millennials, of course, lack the intelligence to understand this. because millennials are not capable of understanding anything other than themselves. But we got Bernie, who's telling all the kids that he's going to give them free stuff. And so all the stupid millennials are all in love with Bernie. So it'll be interesting to see how Bernie is eventually slapped down by the Democrats, because Hillary Clinton is the chosen one who will be running for president. Meanwhile, on the Republican side, we're going to see the same thing, because we've got the Donald. And the Donald is got all these people interested in him. And again, he's got, and I would say with both Bernie and the Donald, and for those of you going, why is he talking about politics? I don't talk about politics that much anymore, but I do think there's interesting elements here. That's why I'm talking about this, because all of this I'm talking about illustrates why democracy doesn't fucking work. Remember, democracy is the idea that anybody can become president as long as that person is one of the two people selected by the two political parties. Isn't it fascinating that every 4 years we reach this point where, oh yeah, we're going to elect the president out of all the, how many people are in the United States? I don't even know recent population figures, 600,000 or something? Hundreds of thousands of people. Of the hundreds of thousands of people in the United States, you're going to tell me that, and again, pretending statism works and all this other stuff, being very pregnant, out of all the hundreds of thousands of people in the United States, you're going to tell me there's only two people smart enough, capable enough, competent enough to be president of the United States? To paraphrase something somebody else said a long time ago, I think it was William F. Buckley Jr., but I could be wrong, is we would be better governed by 200 people randomly selected out of the New York City phone book than by the idiots who are elected. But anyhow, the point is, let me get back to the point. There's kind of a point. So on the Republican side, we've got the Donald, who has his base of popularity, and a lot of people are in love with him. Again, sort of the Ron Paul thing, just like with Bernie. I mean, Bernie Sanders? Bernie Sanders, is that his name? The burn. Feel the burn. I am not going to feel burn. That is just, yeah, he needs to go feel himself. Right, so in the top, you've got the Democrats, you got Bernie, who's very Ron Paul effect, same thing, this group of very hardcore supporters. Then on the Republican side this year, you've got the Donald, Ron Paul effect, this very hardcore support, small group perhaps, but very hardcore. So it'll be interesting to see how the Republicans slap him down, because there's no way he's going to get past the primaries either. Whoever runs against Hillary Clinton, I have no clue who the Republicans are going to send up, and it doesn't matter because they're going to lose. Whoever it is, they're just sacrificing this person. But anyhow, it'll all be fascinating to watch, in so much as statism and stupidity and democracy can be fascinating. You know, it's like watching, again, I know this is kind of an insult to retarded children to compare them to the voting public, but still, watching the presidential elections is like watching a bunch of retarded children fight over a toy. Except, of course, that retarded children are actually smarter than politicians. Again, I would rather live in a world governed by 15 randomly selected retarded people than a world governed by the people running it now. Because 15 randomly selected retarded people could distinguish that bombing other countries is wrong. I mean, they could. They could. 15 randomly selected retarded people could do a better job of running the government than the people we have now. I can never prove this. There's no way I can ever make that happen. But in some mythological fantasy world where I actually had the power to give control of the United States to 15 randomly selected retarded people, I promise you that would be a better society than the one we have now. Because retarded people might be retarded, but they're not evil. All right. Here's a more collegian stuff. This is a two-page spread, man. Man, dude. And this, so here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, for those of you not up on things, the government, because they own everybody's bodies, has banned not just smoking, tobacco smoking, which is interesting because, of course, at the same time, marijuana is now legal, but there's a crackdown on tobacco. Smoking both tobacco, actual cigarettes, and smoking e-cigarettes, or vaporizers, or whatever you want to call them, has been banned inside pretty much any building in the city. And it's also been banned any place on government property or in the downtown area. That includes outside. So government property actually includes parks, a parking lot for a government building. Any place outdoors that belongs to the government, you can no longer smoke, not even an e-cigarette. And I've always been baffled. I've been trying to figure out what exactly was the rationale behind banning e-cigarettes. I haven't figured this out yet, because nobody's ever actually explained clearly and concisely why an e-cigarette is considered the same as a tobacco cigarette. So anyhow, there's this two-page spread here. The headline is Regulation Without Representation. Tobacco and e-cigarette users feel misrepresented by recent smoke-free laws. Well, first thing you could do is stop obeying the law. Second thing you could do is stop voting. Third thing you could do is, vote differently. I don't know, get a ballot measure or something. But again, well, you feel like you're misrepresented. Gosh, welcome to democracy. Suck it up. Now it's got a bunch of sections. I want to read the section about e-cigarette health safety, because this is the closest I've come to finding any rationales for the banning of e-cigarettes. So here's what this says. Mayor Wade Troxell said that one of the issues with public smoking was that it infringes upon people's rights to breathe clean air. Okay, now we have a right to breathe clean air. Okay, now automobiles infringe on my right to breathe clean air. Another thing that infringes on my right to breathe clean air, and if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you've heard this one, is all of these fucking cocksuckers with these leaf blowers. Their leaf blower blowing all the dirt into the air, blowing the dog shit into the air, blowing the pollen into the air. But see, that doesn't fucking matter. Why? Because as I've said time and time again, upper middle class and rich white people love to look out their window and see a brown person who doesn't speak English with a leaf blower in their yard. It gives them little fucking hard-ons and fucking creams their panties. They enjoy that. So leaf blowers blowing all these pollutants into the air, violating my so-called right to breathe clean air, not a fucking problem. But oh my god, somebody smoking an e-cigarette outside at a fucking park where there's not another human within, 20 meters of them, now that's violating some rights. A quote, the issue is that smoking is banned within 20 feet of the front doors and established within the, quote, the issue is, it's morning. The challenges of thinking in the morning. Maybe this is what it's like to be a statist. No, I'd have to have more of my brain removed in order to be like a statist. Never mind. Quote, the issue is that smoking is banned within 20 feet of the front doors of establishments. What was happening was that people were smoking in the public right of way and putting people into dangerous situations, unquote, Troxell said. Now, see, none of that is a reason. This sort of politicians say things like this, and people hear it, and it fascinates me how this translates into a reason. What if we said, well, the issue is that Jews are banned outside of concentration camps. What was happening was that Jews were being hidden in people's attics and putting people in dangerous situations. Now, does that in any way explain why Jews should be in concentration camps in the first place? Well, no, it doesn't. right? That's not a reason. That is not a argument. For those of you who are stupid, if you're a statist, you're stupid, and you don't know what an argument is. Not when you're yelling at your girlfriend or your girlfriend's yelling at you because you didn't put the toilet seat down. An argument is a structured set of empirical evidence, of data points, of logical thinking, of critical thinking, of what's the word I'm looking for? Syllogisms, right? An argument is this structured set of information that logically and coherently leads to a particular conclusion, such as a conclusion would be Jews should be in concentration camps, right? So to support that, you need to present an argument that explains coherently with some kind of empirical data and rational reasoning why Jews should be in concentration camps. Or if you're going to say, well, smoking should be illegal when you're outside in a public park, right? You have to present some kind of coherent logical reasoning to support that thesis. I've never yet heard this. And again, this, to a stupid person, this statement sounds like an argument, but it's not. This is just self. Well, smoking is against the law because smoking is against the law. Jews should be in concentration camps because not being in concentration camps is against the law, right? Those are not arguments in favor of the thesis. That's just circular reasoning bullshit. According to the city, the ban was enacted in the name of public health. Okay, well, again, we can do all sorts of in the name of public health, you can do anything. I mean, in the name of public health, what if we killed off all the handicapped people, the crippled people, the retarded people, the old people, the ugly people? What if whenever somebody got a disease, in the name of public health, if somebody had a communicable disease, what if we just killed them? Right? Burn the bodies. Whatever. I mean, you can do all kinds. This is this sort of utilitarianism reasoning. Well, we're doing this in the name of public health. You can fucking get away with anything in the name of public health. This is good for the public. Who decided that? How do you know this is good for public health? What is your criteria? You have none. An American Heart Association statement released in 2014 said 64% of e-cigarette users in the United Kingdom who switched from cigarettes to e-cigarettes completely stopped using tobacco products. It also found that there was no evidence to suggest that secondhand vapor from e-cigarettes harms others. The study stated that public would benefit if all cigarettes were replaced with e-cigarettes, but also that there was not enough research into the long-term effects of vaping to claim that it is a totally healthy option for the user. So first of all, the only empirical data presented so far actually sways in favor of e-cigarettes. But second of all, of course, it says there's not enough research to support blah, 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 claim that is a totally healthy option. There's no such thing as a totally healthy option. Again, this is the fucking I need to be babysitted mentality of the statist. You know what's unhealthy? Being alive. Being alive is unhealthy. If you are alive, you're going to get sick. You're going to maybe injure yourself. One day you're going to die. And this fantasy desire that statists have to live in a world of total safety, of total security. And again, if you statists are so fucking smart, and you are the smartest people that have ever lived, because you recognize that you're too dumb to make your own decisions, and that's why you elect politicians to make your decisions for you, but you're so smart that you can choose which politician is going to be most capable of making your decisions, not only for you, but for everybody else on the planet. So statists are, in fact, the smartest people who've ever lived. I mean, you have to be really intelligent to be smart enough to choose the person who is going to be not just your master, but the master of everyone else around you. So if statists are so smart, why do they need a law telling them not to smoke e-cigarettes. Why don't they just not smoke e-cigarettes? Oh, wait. For the same reason they need a law telling them it's wrong to kill other people, because they're actually not smart enough to understand that killing other people is wrong, unless Obama says so. But of course, now Obama can kill people. Obama in 6 years can drop bombs on 7 different countries. Well, because Obama's better than they are, and they know Obama's better than them because he's black and he's a Democrat. And of course, they voted for him. And when they voted for him, that gave him magical powers. See, that allows him to do things that other people can't do. Other people can't drop bombs on other people's countries, other people's nations, other people's cities. But Obama can, of course, drop bombs on other people, well, because he has a mandate from heaven. I mean, mandate from the voters. He's magical. Anyway, let's go back to reading. Jan Moriskowski, or some shit like that, a health educator for Larimer County with the Tobacco Prevention Program, said there have not been enough studies into e-cigarettes to say that they can be an effective cessation tool. Quote, they aren't approved by the FDA as cessation devices, and they aren't regulated, so you can't tell how much nicotine is in one, which is really important to someone who is quitting. They don't have the smoke that traditional smoke has, but they are finding that the aerosol contains heavy metals. Unquote. My water contains fluoride. So what? My light bulbs contain mercury. Oh, but now heavy metals are dangerous. So, and the important thing here is to understand that, you see, we can't allow people to use e-cigarettes because they're not approved by the FDA. The government has not approved them. The government has not given people permission to use e-cigarettes. Therefore, if you don't have permission from the government, you shouldn't be allowed to do it. You also can't tell how much nicotine is in them because, of course, reading the label would be completely impossible. The website for the smoking ordinance states that the new smoke-free zone was created to improve public health, which is obviously true for cigarette use. It's obvious. Again, there's no such thing as a scientific study that proves secondhand smoke is harmful. It doesn't exist. You can't find it. There's no such thing. In order to do a scientific study that proves, again, I've been over all this before, but for the new people, science, can't fucking talk. Science does not ever prove a thesis. There's no such thing as proving a thesis in science. You don't know this because you went to public education. For example, okay, in science, you have a thesis. You have a thesis that secondhand smoke... Well, no, let's do the gravity one. Because you have a thesis that gravity will always make water run downhill. Okay, that's your thesis. You can do an experiment, and you pour some water out, and the water runs downhill. Okay, you have evidence, empirical evidence, that supports the thesis that water runs downhill. But you can't prove water runs downhill. Here's why. If at any point, anytime somebody pours water out of a pitcher and the water runs uphill, well, you have just disproven, or actually that's not quite correct. What you would say is, I have evidence that conflicts with, I have evidence, there's a word for this, I'm looking for it. It's not disproves. Jesus Christ. You have evidence to the contrary of the thesis that water runs downhill. So you have, and if you can reproduce this evidence, then you've disproven the theory. But you can never prove a scientific theory because it's always possible somebody's going to find an exception. Now, this doesn't mean you walk around thinking, well, maybe water's going to run uphill today. You have to do this thing called thinking. But the point is, with science, with actual legitimate science, anytime someone tells you they have proven something, that's not true, because new information can always come. One time, people may have thought for certain that, well, the smallest thing in the universe is the electron, the proton, the neutron. There's nothing smaller than that. Oh, we've proven this. But then instrumentation got better. We could see smaller things. We found new ways of looking at the universe. We found, oh, wait a minute, these are actually made of something also. And we're currently calling those strings. And people may be running around going, yeah, Stephen Hawking's with black holes. At one point he said, nothing can escape from a black hole. And then one day he said, you know what? I think something can escape from a black hole. Information always gets better. Now, the odds that we're going to find information that contradicts the idea that water runs downhill is pretty slim. But now to bring us back to how does this relate to smoking. First of all, there's no such thing as being able to prove. And then again, what do you say when certainly can prove public health, which is obviously true. In order to gather evidence that secondhand smoke is harmful to people, you would have to do an experiment. And the experiment would have to be controlled and reproducible. And so you would have to very deliberately expose people to secondhand smoke. You'd have to monitor how much secondhand smoke they're exposed to. And you'd have to track this over time. You'd also have to have a control group that's not exposed to secondhand smoke. And you'd have to compare these two things. Now, of course, you cannot experiment on other humans, unless, of course, you're the government. And then you can give people LSD, you can expose them to radiation, you can perform the Tuskegee experiments, and all of that is completely okay because if you're in the government, you're magical because democracy, right? Stupid people were smart enough to vote for you and give you the power to experiment on other human beings. But otherwise, there are no actual experiments exposing humans to secondhand smoke and seeing what happens. So anytime someone tells you that some study has shown that secondhand smoke is dangerous, this is not true. There's no such thing. These so-called studies are actually based on what I call opinion polls, in which they found people who had lung cancer, health problems, whatever, and they gave them a poll and asked them a bunch of questions. And one of the questions asked was, did anybody in your home smoke? And some number of people said yes to that, and then they said, oh, look, secondhand smoke causes cancer. That's not science, that's not data, that's not reproducible, that's not a scientific experiment, there's no control, there's no measurements, there's no control group, nothing. But of course, it's my simulated smoker's cough. But of course, it's just obvious that the smoke-free zone is going to improve public health. I mean, it means it's just obviously true. And this is another aspect of statism that makes it difficult for me to interact with stupid people, is the ability to just believe things that are so obviously true, because if you repeat something often enough, it becomes true. I think it was some Nazi guy who said that. Right? The new Jew-free zone was, of course, created to improve public health. And this is obviously true for Jewish merchants, because Jews who have a lot of money are taking the money out of the economy, and otherwise that money would be going to, you know, good Aryan German citizens who could be using that money to buy food, buy health care, provide for their children. Oh wait, the Nazis actually advocated a central health care system, kind of like Obamacare. Anyway, but yes, it's really obvious that if we just get the Jews out of society, everything's going to be better. We don't really need any evidence for this. It's really obvious. All right, let me get back to reading, because we're almost done with this. In fact, most e-cig shops interviewed said they support a ban on smoking. Marzowski, or whatever this idiot's name is, said e-cigs are important to include in smoke-free ordinance because the health effects of secondhand vapor are totally unknown. So because it's unknown, we must, and that's the best reason I found yet for banning e-cigarettes, is because there's unknown information, and we can't allow people to make their own choices. It's unknown information. Again, this goes back to how I've talked about statism is driven by fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of not having anything, fear of, you know, discomfort. It's just all fear. Oh my God, it's unknown. We don't know what the long-term health effects are. We're so scared. Let's make sure nobody is allowed to do this. I am scared, and therefore, I am going to seek to create laws that control other people's behavior, and those people get punished for that behavior they're engaging in that I'm afraid of. Imagine. This is a Microsoft ad from a magazine. I only put this in here because just recently at one of my jobs, I was forced to use a Microsoft web-based email, and it's the most god-awful shit ever. I finally got it set up to work, and attempting to log on the internet through my browsers would often give me, first of all, you have to like go through all the, you have to log in one place, and then it redirects you someplace else, and then it redirects you someplace else, and then half the time I would get server busy errors or all this other stuff. I couldn't get shit, and then somebody else's email on the server, her email got totally corrupted, all of her email is destroyed and gone, and she can't get to it because nobody accesses their email other than through the web-based browser, and so everything is on Microsoft servers. There's nothing stored locally. So all of her email wiped out of fucking existence, and you know, there's no backups. You would think Microsoft, we're paying money, well, we, the company, is paying money for this. Apparently there's no backups of the email that they could access because the email came corrupted. It's all gone. No backups. And just using this Microsoft email is the most fucking annoying, worthless, ridiculous shit on the planet Earth. And I saw this Microsoft ad. And then, of course, I also read about Windows 10 and the multiple steps you have to go through in order to prevent Windows 10 from sending your personal information to what apparently is in the user agreement, quote, Microsoft trusted partners, unquote. And the person who wrote this article is like, who the fuck is Microsoft's trusted partners? And just because Microsoft trusts them, why the hell should I trust them? But of course, we all know that privacy is overrated, and if you have nothing to fear, you have nothing to hide. So yeah, fuck it. Just put your information out there for everybody. Anyhow, here's the Microsoft ad. I read this and just laughed. Imagine. She won't have to remember passwords or obsess about security. To her, every screen is meant to be touched, and web pages should be scribbled on and shared. And as she grows and gets better at things, her technology will too. She'll do things her parents never even dreamed of. The future starts now for all of us. Oh my God. God, oh, it's just so touchy-feely. Yeah, she won't have to remember passwords because Microsoft will store all of those for her, and she certainly won't have to obsess about security because she will have no security. Microsoft will make sure that all of your information is disseminated to everybody on the motherfucking planet Earth. All right, do I want to do this? Do I want to save that for the other thing? Do I want to do this? Oh, God, there's so much here that I could save for the other thing. The other thing. Yeah, there's another thing. Let me do this one. I'm going to save those for the other thing. I love reading the Ask E. Jean columns, as you all know. Well, it's the questions, because they illustrate so much. This one is fascinating. Now, I've talked about how if you have standards for women, you're kind of fucked. This is pretty hilarious. Let me read this to you. Dear Eugene, I'm a 37-year-old internet entrepreneur and angel investigator. Can you help me find a woman? Now, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, what is wrong with this man that he is a 37-year-old internet entrepreneur and angel investor? The fact that he's claiming to be an angel investor tells me that he must have money. I don't think you can be an angel investor unless you have a lot of money. Furthermore, women are attracted to men with money, like moths are attracted to flame and cockroaches are attracted to the dark. Anytime a man who has money says he can't find a woman, that's an indicator there's something wrong with him. It's just like when you see a woman who's ridiculously good looking, she says she can't find a man. There's something wrong with her. If you're a man, you got a lot of money, you can find a woman. If you can't, again, you can be as offended as you want to be. There's something wrong with you. So let's find out what's wrong with this 37-year-old internet entrepreneur and angel investor. What I'm looking for is a life partner, not the mother of my children. Anyone who aspires to be a housewife is automatically eliminated. The women I fall for typically intimidate men. Okay, first of all, the first thing we know about him is that he thinks women intimidate men. As I've explained, other people have explained this too, it's not just me. Men are not intimidated by women because of their jobs, their careers, their college diplomas, how strong and independent they are. None of that impresses an actual man. So the fact that this 37-year-old internet entrepreneur and angel investor thinks that men are intimidated by women is an indicator that there's some stuff wrong with him, in the sense that he has no clear contact with reality and apparently doesn't fucking know anything about women or even men. I suppose the easiest way to summarize is to say that I'm seeking a smarter, hotter, younger female version of myself. Smile. He's seeking a version of himself. Now look, I kind of get it, but I kind of get it. Okay, but look, if you're expecting another person to be a version of yourself, maybe you need to turn down the ego a little bit. And as I've said before, if you have, why would you, and well, ego. I don't think normal men, or even normal women for that matter. Yeah, I know, normal women. Ooh, no, there's a couple of them. Maybe I shouldn't say normal, maybe I should say sane. I think that sane men and women don't have expectations that their romantic partners should be versions of themselves. I think that normal, sane men and women want a partner who embodies elements of themselves, but also embodies elements that are contradictory and opposite. Because the whole point of two people coming together to whatever, you know, to date, to get married, to be in a relationship, to be life partners, to be soulmates, you know, however you want to fucking phrase it. I don't give a shit. Or just fuck for a couple of weeks. You know, to be buddies, whatever. However the fuck you want to phrase it. Fuck buddies. Friends with benefits. However you want to phrase it. If you're looking for some serious long-term interaction with another human that involves sex and friendship, I think any normal, sane human being wants there to be elements where the two of you are different from each other. Because first of all, it brings variety, it brings new experiences, and of course, second of all, you need time away from the other person in addition to time with the other person in order to maintain your sanity, to maintain the relationship, and to enjoy your life. a smarter, hotter, younger female version of myself. Okay, right. I'm cognizant of the fact that ultimately I'll fall in love with the woman and not the checklist. I don't think you're cognizant of much, if you want to know the truth. So without further ado, here's the perfect girl for me. Okay, brace yourself. Men and women alike, brace yourselves, because, and of course women have their unrealistic expectations, right? The woman looks at the world around her, she's had this perfect man, and what's going to happen is when I'm 37 years old and I have my three children from two different baby daddies, you know, there's this perfect man, he's going to be 39.5 years old, he's going to be worth $1 million, and he's going to, you know, be 6 foot two tall, and he's going to marry me and provide for my children, and he's going to be intimidated by my college diploma and my career and all this. So women have their fantasy checklist as well. But this is great because we're going to see what the male fantasy checklist looks like, and we're going to see just how delusional a man can be. And as much as I rag on women, and I do rag on women, if you think men, I use the term men really loosely, if you think that people with penises can't be as equally delusional as people with vaginas, then obviously you're not paying attention. Speaking of paying attention, Randy, how am I on time? Beautiful. This will work out great. All right, here's the checklist. The perfect girl for him. Out of this world, intelligent and passionate. Okay. Intelligent, you've already eliminated 999 women out of 1,000. There's a reason why this man can't find a woman. There's a reason. Ambitious and extremely independent with eclectic and diverse interest. Okay, and this is something women don't understand about men either. If she's ambitious and extremely independent. Ambition requires spending a lot of time doing. For example, right now I'm doing this podcast. I can't be out with a girlfriend because I'm doing the podcast. If I were so ambitious that I were releasing an episode of the podcast, say, all 7 days of the week, I would have even less time to spend with a girlfriend. Now, women look for men who are ambitious because they know that ambition translates into money. They don't give a fuck about spending time with the man. They just want his money. But this guy's talking about he wants a girlfriend. He wants this life partner who is ambitious and extremely independent. But he's too stupid to know that if she's ambitious, she's going to be doing things that don't involve sitting around on the couch with him watching fucking Friends reruns. And if she's extremely independent, that's also going to reduce the amount of time she's going to want to spend with him. Next on his list is not needy, high maintenance, jealous, or requiring constant attention. I suppose it goes with extremely independent, but it's worth mentioning. Okay, again, if you're looking for a woman who is not needy, high maintenance, jealous, or requiring constant attention, I'm going to assume that this guy doesn't actually know any women, or that he's never looked at social media in his life and seen that it is a constant stream of women seeking attention. He also doesn't understand one of the main rules of the Cynical Libertarian Society, which is coming up on the CLSology whenever I get that done, is that a woman who is not receiving attention does not exist. Right? They're just like Schrodinger's cat. If you have a woman and no one is paying attention to her, she does not exist in that moment, and she's going to do everything she can to fix that. Okay, let's keep going here because I am running out of time. He wants this woman who's going to be his life partner to be very adventurous, loves to backpack around China, for example. Now, is this while she's being ambitious? He wants her to be super sexual and sexually adventurous, multi-orgasmic, through vaginal sex, he actually has a requirement that the woman needs to be not just multi-orgasmic, but multi-orgasmic through vaginal sex. I mean, does anybody wonder why this man might be single? Okay, he wants her to be on the pill. He's dictating not just that she's using birth control, but which particular method. She can't have an IUD. She can't be using Norplant. No, she has to be on the pill. She needs to be between 5'7" and 6'1". Boy, that sounds like a fucking woman, because women always have requirements for height of a man. She needs to be very thin, but not because she's starving herself or has food issues. I want someone who will be thin her entire life. Where's the fucking fat acceptance movement? Okay, next one. Small breast. Usually come with very thin. Gorgeous. Symmetrical face and features. Loves big dogs. Not small dogs or cats. No. She must love big dogs. Randy, hold the music, because we're going to go over a little bit, I predict. She must be atheist, agnostic, or not religious. She must be happy, healthy, nice, does not want kids in the next few years, in her 20s, plays tennis very well, helicopter skis, and is dying to learn how to kiteboard, speaks French perfectly, plays video games. Fucking Christ. Oh my God. This man claims to be an angel investor and therefore must have money and could fuck any woman on the planet Earth, and yet he can't find a girlfriend. I can't figure out why. This is the most ridiculous list I have ever seen in my fucking life. All right, let's finish up his letter. Historically, the women who have been the best girlfriends for me have been entrepreneurs, lawyers, doctors, bankers, writers, university professors, and the like. I'm pretty agnostic when it comes to hair color, eye color, etc. Oh, good for you! So you're willing to allow this fucking fantasy woman of yours to have any color, eyes, or hair. Oh, goddamn, you are so... Yeah, I cannot understand why you don't have a girlfriend. And look at the people he claims he's dated in the past. Entrepreneurs, if you're an entrepreneur, you're busy. Lawyers, scumbag. Doctors, female doctors have ego problems and don't have time for you. Bankers of all genders are fucking scumbags. Writers, people who need time to be doing the fucking writing and don't have time for your shit. University professors, the fucking scum of the earth and nothing but parasites. Okay, anyhow. But I do have very specific taste. They run to Kate Beckinsale, Diane Kruger, Arizella Gurlart. I don't even know who any of these fucking people are. Eva Green, Jonah Krupta, Odetta, Annabelle, that's about it. Now, where can I find her? Well, you can find her nowhere. What you can find is a life of being unhappy, because it's okay to have some expectations and some standards, but when you're... Again, this is why women can't find men, because they have these unrealistic fantasies. Well, the man has to be 6'2", and he's got to have perfect abs, and he's got to be making $1 million a year, and he's got to have a nice car, and he's got to be able to support, you know, my three children from two baby daddies, and they create all these unrealistic expectations. I mean, this guy here, This is like the king of unrealistic expectations, right? Loves big dogs. Plays tennis very well. Helicopter skis and wants to learn how to kiteboard. What if she already knows how to kite? So what if she does? What if she meets everything on the list, but she doesn't give a flying fuck about kiteboarding? What if she? Yeah, I mean, come on, man. You know, again, it's good to know what you're looking for, because if you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to recognize it when you run across it, right? I mean, for most men, what they're looking for is two tits, a hole, and a heartbeat, and the heartbeat is, of course, optional. Guys, you might want, and not only that, he wants this chick in her 20s. Again, obviously he doesn't know any women in their 20s. Women in their 20s, they're not intelligent, they're not competent. They've got children. Boys. If you're going to have standards, understand that you're going to have to go through a lot of women to find somebody who's going to meet the standards. And when your standards get this ridiculously, what's the word I'm looking for? This ridiculously over the top, just accept that you shouldn't be dating a woman because you are a woman. It's just a I don't bother with the other side. I'm always right.